Dr. Casey Wardinsky joins us from Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Wardinsky, good morning.
Good morning.
A busy school day about to get started there in Huntsville?
Yes.
He's the superintendent of the Huntsville City Schools, and we've got him on the line here to talk to him about the implications of a law that you may be aware of, the Alabama immigration law, which a federal judge ruled last week was appropriate in compelling educational officials, teachers, and superintendents like Dr. Casey Wardinsky to seek and determine the immigration status of students in their schools, where up till now they perhaps hadn't known or would only have found out by accident or if it was volunteered by a student. Dr. Wardinsky, the law went into effect on Thursday. I gather you're noticing some empty seats in the classroom. Is that true?
Correct. The law went into effect Thursday. Implementation been delayed pending the judge's ruling. And on Wednesday night, we started getting some calls to our Spanish language teachers from folks in the community who were concerned about coming to school. And on Thursday, we saw about 207 of our Hispanic students absent. We have about 1,435. And normally on a Thursday, we'd see 30 to 40 absent. So that was a pretty big increase in absenteeism. So taking note of that and what the law required, we made a broadcast in Spanish language on our district TV station and also sent a call to parents regarding what the law actually required and reassuring students, you know, it was safe to come to school and all we were doing was collecting statistics.
And that's what drafters of the law say that this is all about, that you're collecting statistics, giving them to the state, and then the state will tell the federal government how much of a problem there is in Alabama, and they should come up with a policy of their own. But I've got to figure that this is something of a heartbreak, to have students feeling as though they're not safe in your institution. Let's just pretend I'm one of your Spanish language students who, you know, has a 3.8 GPA and didn't show up this week. How do you convince me that it's a safe place to come to school in Huntsville?
Well, you got to have pretty good communication, so that's why we reached out and did it in both English and Spanish and talked to the local media as well to make sure students and parents understood that if they were already students enrolled in our schools, there was no impact. We weren't going to be doing anything. And if they were new enrollees, what we were required to do was within 30 days of enrollment, take a look at their documents, either birth certificate or immigration documents, and if those weren't provided, just make note that we had enrolled a student who didn't provide documents, and then at some point we forward that to the state. So we want to make sure families understood, you know, that they weren't going to be met by any officials or anything like that, you know, that would prevent them from attending school.
Would you personally bar an ICE agent from coming into the school if they believed they had somebody that they could take an enforcement action on?
Well, schools are actually a government, so we have relations with the police and other agencies, and that gives us authority in our area to protect the privacy of students, and we're governed by a whole set of laws, FERPA and a whole other bunch of laws. So ICE wouldn't just show up at a school and demand, you know, custody of a student or something like that. That would be done differently. So we weren't too concerned about that.
But if anybody wanted to do that, I gather they'd have to speak with you directly.
Yeah, well, we are a government. So just like a city or a state, districts have governmental authority. So they would talk to us first.
Let me play something for you. You know, we spoke last week with the Republican State Senator Bill Holtzclaw, who is a guy actually, I have a lot of respect for. He emphasized that this law is all about just information gathering, and that's all. But he didn't say that the same sentiment prevailed among some of his colleagues. And I wonder if that message is what you're seeing in the empty seats. Listen.
Some of my colleagues say that the very reason that they supported it is to make Alabama a place where undocumented aliens don't want to live and work, and from a punitive perspective. And that's what some of my colleagues have said.
Do you feel, based on these empty seats and the results that you're getting from the appeals that you've made on Spanish language television, et cetera, and talking to parents, that this law is playing out as punitive to students?
I wouldn't go that far. We looked at our enrollments yesterday, and whereas we had about 200 absent Hispanic students on Thursday, after our communications, that had fallen by half. We were at 100 on Monday, and of course our members of our schools and our faculty are communicating with folks when they come to school and ask questions. And so, yeah, I wouldn't see that the community's seen it as, you know, that the law is designed to scare folks off because they're coming back to school. But certainly, there was some literature in the that we heard of in the district area that, you know, might have had that tenor to it, which is why we communicated about the fact that the law only required statistical collection, and you know, we weren't forwarding names or, you know, ICE and so forth weren't going to be meeting students at school.
So you're not forwarding names. You're just doing statistics, just purely this is the percentage in this classroom, that sort of thing.
Hey, it's just sort of a district-wide, actually. It doesn't get down to the school or the classroom. It's district-wide. What are we seeing?
You know, how heartbreaking is it for you as an educator, knowing the value of education for some of these immigrant families? And I'm not, you know, speaking in stereotypes here, but I think in general it's fair to say that education is the value, is the sort of lifeblood of these families. For them to decide to withhold their children from school must be just an extraordinary sacrifice. Have you talked with the families who sort of convey that sense?
Well, I'd say that, you know, it's a tragedy when kids don't come to school for whatever reason, and particularly if it's based on some sort of misinformation about what the government's up to. And not only does it hurt the student who's absent, but when they do return, we've got to make up that time. So it can have an impact on other students. And the future of our country is, you know, our kids. Educating them is what public schools are all about. So it's never a good idea to have absenteeism, you know, unless somebody's sick or something like that, and certainly not because of some action the government took that might have been interpreted to be overly punitive or designed, you know, in a way that was going to harm one group or another. This was statistics collection, and from that perspective, I couldn't see any reason why students shouldn't be coming to school.
Finally, we've heard from teachers who say, we don't think it's our responsibility to do this. We don't want to do this in the classroom. Are you expressing some solidarity with them, or do you have to also convince them to take these numbers?
Well, schools are required to do a whole lot of things that don't have anything to do with education, and we'll add this one to the list. Then we provide a public service, so, you know, when the law is passed, we adhere to it.
Well, I'm feeling for you this morning, Dr. Wardinsky. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Dr. Casey Wardinsky is superintendent of Huntsville City Schools, where they have to take names and statistics at the very least on immigration status of students as a result of that Alabama immigration law. Thanks so much.
Come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.